Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Horios Daf Yud Dalet Horios 14, and today's Daf Yomi is the last Daf of the tractate Horios, and we thank Hashem Yisbarach for allowing us to complete this tractate, and it is also the last Daf of the entire Seder Nezikin, of the entire volume of Nezikin, which deals with torts and damages and litigation and judges in general. And so we thank Hashem Yisbarach for allowing us to complete a 5-minute Daf for each of the Dapim of Maseches Nezikin. So in the last Daf of Maseches Nezikin and of Maseches Horios, the Talmud discusses what is the proper quality to look for in a judge or in a religious leader. And about this, there's a dispute amongst the Tanaim, and then it became also a dispute, a practical question, about who to appoint as the head of the yeshiva. So says Rabbi Yochanan Pliguba that there was a dispute about this, who would be considered better to lead, somebody who was sharper, somebody who had a trenchant analysis, somebody who had a keen ability to decipher an argument, or somebody who was a bucky, somebody who had a complete mastery of the sources. So which is considered to be a better quality in choosing the religious leader? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Rabbanan, they disputed this matter. Chadam, or one of these groups of the Tanaim, said Sinai Adif, that the preferable quality in a Torah scholar when you're coming to pick who will be the leader is somebody who knows more sources, somebody who knows all the Mishnayos and all the Brizos, and they are arranged for him, and they are ordered in his mind and organized like as if they were given at Sinai. And so therefore this person is called Sinai. And such a person is to be preferred over somebody who is sharp and able to analyze the argument and come up with chidushim and new ideas. The Chadamar, whereas the alternative position is Oker Harim Adif, that the preferable quality is a Torah scholar who is sharp and is able to almost uproot mountains and grind them up, grind them against each other, because such a person has such a keen ability and has mastery of logic, that person is better than somebody who knows more sources. So this was obviously at a time before there was Google, and so therefore the person who knew more sources was a repository of the tradition. And so that's what the debate is. Is it better to have somebody who is smarter and can come up with more logic, or somebody who has a better memory and things could be organized? So this dispute amongst the Tanaim was not debated necessarily by the Tanaim in a way that we have sources to back up each position. But what we do know is that the Gemara tells us that this became a dispute amongst the Amoraim in Babylon, that they didn't know what to do, because Rav Yosef was one rabbi at that time, and the other one was Rabbah, and they didn't know who would be the proper person to choose to be the Rosh Yeshiva, to be the head of the Yeshiva. So Rav Yosef was known as Sinai, and he had a complete mastery of all of the sources, and so therefore some were saying he should be the one selected, whereas Rabbah was Oker Harim. He was sharp, and he was able to analyze the sources. And so the academy in Babylon, they didn't know who to choose as the Rosh Yeshiva. So Shalchu l'Saman, they sent a message to the academies in the land of Israel, and they asked them, Eizem Eim Kodem, who should we pick to be our Rosh Yeshiva? Rav Yosef, who is Sinai, or Rabba, who is Oker Harim? So the people in Israel sent back, Shalchu l'Sinai Adif, that Sinai is considered to be better. Rav Yosef, you should pick Rav Yosef. Why? The Amar Mara called Tzrichin L'Marech Itaya, because everybody needs the owner of the wheat. Meaning to say, all the logic in the world isn't going to help you if you don't have the Mishnayos and the Brisos arranged in a manner that's clear. That's the foundation of halacha, is knowing the sources. And so therefore they said that you should pick Sinai over Oker Harim, and therefore they said you should pick Rav Yosef as the Rosh Yeshiva. Nevertheless, even though this was the clear analysis of the people in the land of Israel, the Meiri points out, when do we say we should take Sinai? Meiri, writing in the 14th century, says only take Sinai when it's not just that the arrangement of the halachos are clear in his mind, but that he's able to draw distinctions between
them and be able to decide practical halachos. Because if you just know the sources, but you can't even draw basic distinctions and apply them for legal rulings, that's obviously deficient. So even though the Amoraim in the land of Israel chose Sinai, the Meiri brings that back and says the Sinai is not enough on its own. You still need distinctions. And so too the Be'er Sheva says, how can we say that Sinai is better? Indeed, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when you come up to Shemayim and they ask you, what did you do? They say, Papalta Batorah. They don't say, are you a Baki? They say, are you an expert in analyzing the Torah? So how can we say that Sinai is better? So therefore, based upon this, the Be'er Sheva says, it depends who is more Moser Nefesh, who is really dedicating themselves more to it. And so that's the distinction between the two Gemaras, the Gemara in Shabbos, which says that Ochir Haram is better, and the Gemara here, which says Sinai is better. In each case, it's talking about who was going to dedicate more of their life to understanding the Torah. And so that's how the Be'er Sheva rules. So anyway, what happened in this Gemara is that even though the people in Eretz Yisrael that said that Rav Yosef is better, nevertheless, Lo Kibel Rav Yosef Alai. Rav Yosef refused to become the Rosh Yeshiva, and indeed Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. And only after Rabbah died, did Rav Yosef take over. And the Gemara says, those 22 years, Rav Yosef, that he didn't even call a person who was a bloodletter to his house. And the Ramah explains that the reason is because it was a merit, because he didn't take the ruling upon himself. They didn't take the Rosh Yeshiva position upon himself. He was protected by Hashem for those 22 years, and he didn't even need a bloodletter as a reward for his tremendous modesty.